Now we're on safe source.
Right. Last we spoke, we learned about the murder, the killing in Nob Ir HaKohanim, right? Talked about who Doeg was, the difference between what Chazal said and what the quote-unquote scholars say. And we just talked about the idea of how Shaul could totally lose himself and wipe out a whole city, which is not so good. Okay, especially a city of Kohanim, which is even worse. So now we're going to move on, and obviously we're going to see what the repercussions of that event were. Mm-hmm. And will you kill the whole city of Kohanim? Mm-hmm. I hope not. Okay. Pasuk Parakav Gimel. Vayagidu leDavid leMor. They told David following. Hinei plishtim nilchamim bekiila. Behold, the plishtim are fighting in Keila. V'heima shoshim et hagranot. They're plundering the granota, the granaries. Okay? Now, this is a serious thing. This is, you know, people's sustenance. They had nobody to protect them. So in came marauding bands. Remember, the Plishtim were not a unified nation. The Plishtim were these groups of marauders, you know, and these bands. And it was a loose confederation of tribes, we'll call them. Kind of like Afghanistan. Right? They don't have anything to do with each other. Even the Iraqis, they don't have anything to do with each other. It's like this loose group of people. And so when he says Plishtim, the Plishtim is a larger group than you might think. Hi. It's right there. Okay. Can you get it? Welcome. Rina, before you stop, I need to make an announcement to your group. So right before you end, can you come get me?
What?
I need to make an announcement to your group right before you end. Don't let them go until I... Okay. Thanks, David. Okay. Vayishal David v'Hashem lemor. Ha'ilech v'hikeshi b'plishtim ha'ilech. Should I go smite these plishtim? Vayomer Hashem el David. Lech v'hikita b'plishtim v'hoshal ta'atila. Yes. Go and smite the plishtim and you should save Te'ilah. Questions? No questions? No problems?
Why do you ask?
I mean,
it shouldn't be obvious. Just, you know, here's the problem. Go take care of it.
Okay.
That's it.
That seems obvious to you?
Seems like a lot to ask of someone.
Why?
To take on the whole police team?
Well, first of all, it's not the whole police team. Remember, it's like another, it's a marauding band or group or whatever.
But this is somebody that they say 200 foreskins all by himself?
No problem. See, you're saying,
this is the greatest warrior we've ever had.
It's a bigger problem.
Has he talked to Hashem before?
Well, that's another question. What? Yeah, what are you asking me?
I'll be with him.
Well, I mean, all of a sudden he's talking to Hashem. I don't even hear.
Excellent. How does he talk to God? Okay, go on. Any other questions? There's a much more simple, fundamental question. Nobody? No, you just didn't take it for granted? What's David now? Who is he? What's he doing? What's his role? Where is he?
He's on the run.
He's
the
head of the misfits.
He's the head of the misfits on the run. He's the head of the misfits running away from the king. And now what's he doing?
Talking to God.
Well, about?
Fighting war.
Saving the world. Don't get me wrong, but... Hello?
Trying to take on his role.
Where's the king? He isn't the king, you're forgetting. He's not like... He is no longer the general of the king's army. He's the head of the misfits. Well said. So what in the world is he doing?
Who also is the Vayyad? Did you see this?
Where are we?
The first post. If I need
the who told him?
Yeah. Doesn't matter.
I don't know. Okay. People. Messengers. Who knows? Where is the king? Isn't that a good question? How come the king doesn't attack and protect his country? Yeah. And why does David see it as his role to protect his country?
Where are they?
Look at your map. Take a seat. You have an old seat? I have a new seat. This map comes in handy. There's a lot of running around. David is at number, see where it says 7 and then 9. So there's a 7, there's a black line up left. And then between 7 and 9, 15 is also 8. We'll see. Okay, and 10, same way. So he goes, that's where Keilah is. Okay? The people of Keilah are in big trouble. And what's unique about Keilah? Keilah is on the border. Everyone see where I am? See where Keilah is? Keilah is number 9. It's an Israeli 9. Can't help you. So why is David doing this? Why isn't Saul doing it? It's a good question, right? Also, you have to ask yourself, what does it mean that David is doing it? So we ask the first question. The first question is, how is David now speaking to God? How come he never spoke to God before? Where is Saul? And why is David assuming this interesting role? And fourth is, what does it mean that David's taking this role? So that, Evan, I'll let you answer the fourth question, because it's pretty easy. What does it mean now that David is taking this role?
He's taking over what he's meant to do.
Well, he's no longer the king of the misfits, and if the king isn't going to do it...
He'll be the king.
He doesn't want to be the king.
Well, but he'll take on the responsibility of protecting the people.
Right.
So think of that aspect of it.
It is just very interesting. It's very interesting that he assumes that that's his job, and he goes ahead and does it. Pasuk Gimel. V'yomer anshei David elav, hineh anachnu po b'Yehuda yireim. Like, so people say, oh, one second, where are the band of the misfits? Right, they're in Yehuda, they're hanging out, like, you know, we're here just trying to eke out a living. We're on the run. Nobody ever bargained for a war here. We're not supposed to go ahead and protect anybody else. So, you're right, it might be David is not afraid, but his men are not so happy about this prospect.
That's probably given, yeah.
Yeah. But Yosef, oh, David, these oh, Hashem. So David asks God again. Vayaanehu Hashem, vayomer. God answers and says, Kum rei ke'ila. Yes, you should go to ke'ila. Ke'ani nosein es plishtim biyadecha. Because I will give the plishtim into your hands. Now, it's very interesting.
Shows some doubt, though.
Who? On the part of?
David, he asked to ask twice.
Why does he ask the second time?
Because his men asked him.
Right, so who's having doubt?
The men, but still, I mean, he could have said, well, no, God told me this, so then I'm going to do it.
And you know what they could have said? Mm-hmm. What could they have said?
They would have said, we don't believe
it. Have a good time. Have fun. You know, he has to inspire them too. It doesn't really... I thought this along the same line you're thinking, that, well, maybe, isn't it a lack of faith that he should have to ask again? But it's very clear that he asks for the men. Now, it is interesting. Do the men believe... What's the difference between the first prophecy and the second prophecy? The first communication and the second one. First communication said, should I go? Mm-hmm. And God said?
Yes.
Go. That's all it said.
A little more than that.
What is it?
Go strike the Philistines and save Keilah.
Where are we? Go smite the Philistines and save Keilah. Okay?
It's translated as, you shall smite.
You shall smite. What is the second one?
Second one is a little more obvious.
He says, I'll give them to you. You'll win.
You're going to win. Which is interesting. Meaning, what did the men say to David? The men said to David, sure, God wants us to go fight the fight.
What's the result?
Right. Nobody ever said we're going to win. And nobody ever said we're not going to get killed. And we're not willing to do that. Why should we? And so that's why the second communique,
this
telegram
like
from God came.
Like a hangover, something that's just sticking with them from the days of the show scene, where, you know, they wanted these guarantees from God to be prophets.
Interesting.
It's the same kind of mentality. They're still not ready to be their own kingdom.
It's interesting. So Rabbi Ariel in this book points out that very often, you know, you ask, what does God want? So if it doesn't go the way you thought it would go, that must mean that God didn't want it. He said, that's not necessarily true. Right here they ask God to go ahead and do X, Y, or Z, and God says, go and do it. They said, yeah, sure, God might want us to do it, but how do we know who's going to survive? We don't want to do that. So then God is asked to say, you're going to win. It's going to be, you know, don't worry. It's going to walk in the park. So, you know, I think that it is a very interesting idea that we sometimes make value judgments on things based on their outcomes. Whereas those value judgments are really not necessarily, you know, appropriate. Because we don't really know what God wants. And the fact that things didn't go the way you thought they should go, or the way you wanted them to go, doesn't necessarily mean that it's not God's will also, and that you didn't do what God wants you to do. And that's something that people struggle with. They want to know, what's the answer? What's the right thing? What should I do? Well, if it works out well, great. But we know a lot of times that it doesn't really happen.
Is it also possible that he's talking to God because he realizes he's stepping over a line? David?
Yes.
He's doing something, obviously, that you know, stepping over
yes.
a line overshows.
Yeah, that's a good point. So why does he do it? I mean, why does he do it?
That's when he goes to God. So, you know, can I do this?
Right.
And I have this thought in my head. Should I go step
correct,
on?
Correct. Now, it's interesting. Take your sheet. The Gemara says, look on the second page. This is the Gemara in Eruvin.
The second?
This one's second page.
In the back.
Got that? You got one? The Gemara says the following. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Nachrim Sicharu al Ayaros Yisrael. Let's say the non-Jews are annoying or afflicting the cities of Israel. Ein Yotzim Aleihem B'chli Zeinam Ve'ein Mechalun Aleihem Esashabes. You cannot go and fight, no battles, no wars, and you can't be Mechal Shabbos. Tanya Ami Hachi, we also learn. Nachrim Sitzara, Shadat Gemara says, Bemed Yivarim Amurim. When is that true? Kishabau al Ishke Mamun. Well, all they're doing is stealing your money. So if they're stealing your money, is it worth risking your life?
No.
No. They're not allowed to. Abaubau al Ishke Nefasos, but if they come and put people's lives in danger, then for sure, Yotzim Alem B'Klizeinam Mechalem Es HaShabbos. Okay? The Gemara says, U'Be'ir HaShmuch Al HaShefer, and the city that's close to the border, very good. Afilu Loba Al Ishke Nefashos Ela Al Ishke Teben V'Kash, even if they don't come, they only come to steal your money. Mechalem Alein Es HaShabbos, where Yotzim B'Klizeinam Mechalem Alein Es HaShabbos. Right? So what are the parameters? If they come to fight you, to kill you, of course you fight. If they come for your money, you don't fight, unless
you're on the border.
Gemara says, let's read, Amar Rav Yossi Bar Yom Yarav Nachman, U'b'chol ki'ir, U'bavel ki'ir ha'simucha l'sefer damya. Bavel, it was like a border city. I don't know why he said that, but you have to take it for his way. V'zagama Nahardah, and we explained, what is that city? The city of Nahardah. Because I guess, what is the reason, by the way, you have to protect your border city from why is a border city different than any other city?
Because if you lose that, then everyone's life will be in danger.
Well, no, remember, they're only attacking you for their money. For your money.
So your borders have to be strong so they don't think they can walk right into
correct.
The city.
Correct. Correct. You know, that's the whole... Well, that's one of the arguments that the Shadler movement tries to use about Gush Katif. And it's a very convincing argument. Let's assume that we're crazy Mashiachniks. They don't say it that way. Let's assume that they're crazy. And let's assume that you're right that Nitzarim is not part of the state of Israel, and let's assume that it's not part of biblical Israel, which they disagree with anyway. Let's assume all that. You think Nitzarim is the last place they're going to attack? It's the first place to fall. And when they get that, then they're going to go somewhere else. So you're saying to me, is it worth fighting for? Is it worth dying for? Yeah. And the Gemara says it in exactly that way. Something that's not worth fighting for and killing for and dying for and being the Chalos Abbas for is worth it if it's a domino. Because if it's going to cause you more problems later on, you have to stop it before, you have to nip it in the bud before. And it's a somewhat convincing argument. Somewhat convincing argument. Then you have to evaluate. If you think that's true, then you have to start evaluating, well, do you think it's true, or do you think you can somehow contain it? You know what I'm saying? Do you think that it's somehow avoidable or somehow preventable? Etc. Okay. Darash Rav Dustai Demin Biri. Dustai Min Biri Darash. He darshened. He learned that. My deceive by Yagidu Le David Le Mor Ine Plishtim Le Chamin Be Ki'ila. What does it mean? I mean, let's understand the story. Plishtim Le Chamin Be Ki'ila. Behema Shosim Le Gwenot. They're stealing the things. Tanya, so we learned Ki'ila Ir Smucha Le Sefer Haita. Right? It was a city on the border. And what do they come for? Tevin and kash are straw and grain, right? It says, and then David had to ask a shayla, should I go and fight? So the Gemara says, my kami bayle, two lines in the bottom on the first paragraph. My kami bayle. What was he asking?
I should put these people at risk.
Yeah, that's what David wants to know. If you say, well, am I allowed to? Am I permitted to fight? Or am I not permitted to fight? Hare base, do you know, shows from well, Hare Amati Kayan. There's a basin for that. He should have gone to the basin. Ella, rather, what was he must ask? I machlach, ilo machlach. He wants to know, am I going to win or not? Well, I'll be successful. So David, it's interesting, had no shayla. He had no question. You got to go fight. Why? It's a border town. If you don't stop now, it's never going to stop. What did Saul think? Why didn't Saul go fight? Saul was never one to be afraid of picking a fight.
Why was he going to lose?
Nah. Oh, well, I'll prove it to you later.
Why did Saul not pay?
He
can't fight every little skirmish. You know, what can you do? I can't protect everyone. I can't send the army out every single time. It is interesting. It's interesting to note that Saul's absence is glaring here. So maybe you want to say, well, he didn't think it was a border town, or maybe Saul argued halakhically and said, a border town. And remember, this Gemara is years, centuries after this story happened. So the thing that's the halakha now could have been a focus. Maybe Saul didn't hold that a border town was requiring you to run around and you know, put soldiers' lives at risk. Maybe Saul felt it's not worth my soldiers' lives to save these people.
I mean, but these cities look more to be border town than this one. Yeah,
now, it is interesting. Well, Sefer is a region in between the main, the main area. Now, if you ask you Binyamin, this is the area of Binyamin up top here. That's where Saul lived. That's where the kingdom was. Yehuda is down here. And these are, you know, you have to think about it like the states of the Union before, you know, before the Revolutionary War. They really were very separate and had some things in common. So it was much more difficult for Saul to come to Yehuda than to go to Binyamin. You know what I'm saying? Like, you go into this, it's interesting, like, Iraq is very illustrative of this now. You go into, like, the Fallujah region, and the people in Fallujah can't stand the people in Baghdad, and it's like a whole different terrain, and these people are Shiites and Sunnis, and this tribe hates that tribe. A lot of truth to it. There really is a lot of that. And the Jewish people were exactly like that. You know, he didn't have control totally. But it also gets the sense that where is Keilah as opposed to where Shaul is? Whose city is Keilah?
Shimon.
What's that? Oh, Yehuda and Shimon, right? Mm-hmm. It's not in Shaul's territory. He's supposed to be the king of all the Jewish people, but...
He's
a Binyamin. So, well, you know, we're on our way. Tell them we're coming, and we'll be there in a little while. You know, like, well, it's not supposed to be that way. There was supposed to be Jewish unity. Yeah, but it didn't really work that way. Okay. Pasuk Hey. Vayelech David va'anashav Ke'ilah. So that one of his men went to Ke'ilah. Vayilachim ba'pishtim. He fought the Pishtim. Vayinhaget mizne michnehem. So meaning he was so successful that he drove them back and he even stole their cattle. Vayachmeh ba'kak dolah. Vayoshev David et yoshvei Ke'ilah. And he smote them a good smote. And David saved the people of Ke'ilah. Vav. Vayhi bivrach et yatar ben Achimelech el David Ke'ilah ephod yavad biyado. This is a very important piece of information. Somebody asked, who asked, how did David talk to God? It was not through a Navi. How did he talk to God? Urim v'Tumim. Where did he get the Urim v'Tumim? What's that?
They were on the Eifod.
The last Kohen.
The last Kohen. The last Kohen, you know, of Ira Kohenim, took the Eifod. And he ran. Where did he run?
Yeah, he
took that. So interestingly enough, how does David now have a direct line to God? How did he get it?
He caused it.
Who's he?
David.
Well,
Saul turned his back on God
directly.
Well, I wouldn't say it's David causing it. I was going to say Saul caused it.
Well, I mean,
here Saul is trying to, you know, persecute David. And the way he's going to persecute David, he's going to send a lesson. He's going to show everybody that, he's going to show everybody that I'm going to kill anybody that helps out this guy. So he does that. And the very last surviving person runs away and brings the communicator with God together with him. So inadvertently, in his effort to destroy David, Saul only makes him more powerful. And remember, this promise to know yes or no, to know whether you could do something or not do something, very, very powerful. In fact, it's so powerful, what do you know is going to happen later on at the end of Saul's life that Saul will do out of desperation?
He's going to illegally contact.
Right, he's going to use illegal contact.
Yeah.
Right?
Black magic.
Right, he's going to use black magic in order to conjure up the Shmuel.
Why wasn't this pasuk
before?
I don't know, what do you think?
I mean, this is obviously information that would have been helpful beforehand, not after.
Right. Obviously it was written after. I don't really know. What do you think?
I think that it's like a, you know, postscript.
Right, it is a postscript. I mean,
it's not as important as the fact that David was going to go fight.
I think it's critically important, and there's no way David would have gotten the fight without it.
No, but one second. The second answer is that God's going to make him win.
Right.
The first answer is go fight.
And he was going to go fight.
And he was going to go fight.
Right.
So he was going to go fight even without the second answer. The second answer you said...
Yeah, but he wasn't going to go fight without the communication. If he couldn't ask God, should I go fight, he would not have gone to fight. In a sense, I think you're right. I think David was asking permission. But I also think that David saw it as a sign that the ephod came to him. You know, the ephod is not just some breastplate. It's the communication with God. You have a Navi, you have the prophet, and you have the ephod. The prophet you can ask. He doesn't have to give you an answer. Right? God said, tell me yet, tell no. The ephod, push in the numbers or ask the ephod and the things light up. I mean, nobody knew how it worked. You're all set. You're a pretty neat communicator. You know, you could, and you couldn't use it for, you know, what should I get for dinner? You know? It was pretty nifty.
From a writing sense, this is exactly where you want to throw in the part of...
Why do you want to throw it in now?
Because you want to get the feeling, you want to add that little mystery, like how is he doing stuff and it keeps your reader interested.
All right, you want to say it that way? It's a literary device?
Yeah.
I think that it's there, right, it sort of threw you for a loop. You know, you might ask the question, now he's answering the question.
The other thing is that the focus, by putting it afterwards, the focus is on David, it's not on communication with God, as on David.
Right, that's what I think that's what David was saying, right? That it was focusing on David himself, and then we come to find out how it happened. Okay, I agree. Now, you got the Sha'ul, ki ba David ki'ilah. So Saul finds out, David came to ki'ilah. But Yomer Sha'ul, Sha'ul says, Nikar oto Elokim diyazi. I find this fascinating. God has placed and recognized him in my hand. Ki'ilah was a city, a fortified city.
Walled city.
Great! He says, God has placed him in my hand. See, I find there's no small amount of irony here. That here, on the one hand, in whose hands is the communication with God, is the connection to God?
David.
What does Shaul say? Oh, it's the Ratzon Hashem.
Shaul sing it from a different...
You know, so it's very interesting that David, the people, David's men, they know what God's will is, and it's still not enough for them. And so, clearly, it has nothing to do with God's will, and everything that he wants is God's will.
Yeah, but he wasn't always like that. The beginning, he was doubted everything.
Yeah, but even when he was like that, he was usually right about it. See, here's the thing. We know what God wants. You can't know what God wants in a specific, what job should I take? Because God doesn't, but you know what God wants. You do. You know what God wants you to do. You know how God wants you to behave. You generally have a good idea of what God wants of you. Right? But he's not going to tell you specifically how to do it in your life. You have to figure that out. It almost sounds like Saul has to convince himself that this is the, you know, so he keeps, this is the will of God. Baruch Hashem, you know, it's terrific.
It's like he's thinking, okay, he's got the ephod, he's asking the questions, God's telling him, go here, I'm going there to trap him.
Yeah.
God must want me to trap him.
This is also how he rationalizes not to have done anything himself.
Oh, you mean in Ke'ilah? That's what God wanted him there.
Yeah.
I don't know. You don't hear him react to that.
I don't even care about Ke'ilah.
We were in at the Salavitic Institute last week, so Rabbi Schachter's wife, Shoshana Schachter, is a therapist. So we had a seminar on, like, basically a therapy session, where we all get to a group session, where we all get to,
Vent, right.
So one of the points she made, she just was quoting her kids. She said her kids used to say that when there was a weak point, whenever you have a weak point, she said, yell like hell. Like, if you're given a drasha, you're speaking, and it's a bad point, the louder you say it, maybe you'll convince people that really, you know, like, It's in the Rashi. That's what she said. That's a funny rule, you know, because if it's a good point, you don't have to yell. I was like, so Shaul has to, like, you know, Baruch Hashem, you see, hand of God, you know. And who's talking to God? Now, again, another irony. So what does Shaul do? He rouses all his people to war. They're going to go trap David. Right? So what are you asking yourself?
Why
don't you do that? Hey, where were you 10 minutes ago? Right, you're to save the city. You don't do. What's it going to do to the city now?
Destroy it.
Burn it down. Right? No problem. He's in the city? Fantastic. Nowhere to go. Destroy the whole city. So to save the city, nothing. To destroy the city because of David? No problem. So David knows that Shaul is plotting against him negatively. Vayomer el Aviatar HaKohen, said Aviatar, Hagisha HaEfo, bring that puppy back. I need some more help. What? Yeah. Now they say, the commentators all say, David used the Efo more than anyone. He was like the biggest apode user, you know? And maybe sometimes, like, you know, the apode could have said, you know, out of order, figure it out on your own. You know, between you and me, if I had one...
He had a lot of tough questions, you
know. Yeah, I would use it, you know, like, why not? It's good. Yom David said, David, Hashem, okay, Yisrael, Shema, Shema, Abdecha, Ki, Mevakei, Shaul, Lavol, Ki, Ilo. And ask yourself, I'm more serious. I've heard, your servant has heard, the Shema, Shekara, Ki, Ilo, L'Shachet, La'ir, Ba'avuri. And everybody heard what happened to Nov. So does anybody doubt what's going to happen to the people of Ki'ila? No. Hayizguruni ba'alei Ki'ila biyado. Will they turn me over? Hayeyreid Sha'ul ka'asher shema abdecha Hashem elokei Yisrael hagena la'abdecha. Is Sha'ul going to come, like I've heard, and wipe me out? V'yam Hashem yeyreid. Says God? Yeah. By the way, the Gemara learns out from this. You can't ask two questions of the Urim between them. It's one question at a time. Because David asked two questions.
Yes,
he only got one answer. So why does he ask two questions?
Oh, I have you here.
Yeah, you freaked out. You know, hey, if you're on the phone, we can, you know, how much I've got.
We have so many tokens.
Yes, in the long
how many, insert another, and insert another 25 cents.
If you ask in the wrong order, it'll answer in the right order.
Right, the more important question is answered.
Well, whichever one really should come first. But the main question is he going to come? If he isn't coming, it doesn't matter.
I don't know, it seems like a waste of a question.
It does seem like a waste of a question.
Is Shaul really coming?
No, yeah. Like, yeah, of course he's coming.
Of course he's
he
coming.
Wants
that's
to kill me,
right.
So I know he's coming, and he's going to come, and the human nature is they're going to give me over.
How many questions do you get? How many questions do you get?
If there's no limit, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, you can ask. No, you may ask
you
three questions.
If there's a limit, then you have to be careful what you ask.
So David gets one question, and he gets one answer, he gets two questions. So, David, are they going to turn me over? God said, yes, they will. What's the problem with this? Come on, Mr. Rice, what's the problem with this question?
Why do you want to know the future?
Oh.
And I
want to know the future.
No, I know.
If I had the A-Fo, I have a lot of questions I got to know.
It's kind
of
weird, actually.
What's
because
weird?
Because they saw what happened to the Kohanim.
Oh, right.
They saw what happened in the last city that helped them out.
Okay.
So they're going to save their own.
The A-Fo was wrong.
Why?
Because that's not what happened. He left.
Well, I don't think the A-Fo was wrong. I think that he was asking, would they turn me over?
All right.
You know, are they willing to turn me over? And the A-Fod said, you bet your bottom they will. Here's the what's the problem with this, though? There's a problem.
Need to ask that question.
Why?
Because like everyone said, if Shaul was going to... They just saw Shaul...
You mean it's obvious.
All the Kohanim.
Everything is
so obvious.
Yeah,
they
all those
all
questions
are obvious. If they don't tell
him.
He's
not asking anything...
He should be asking, how do I destroy Shaul?
Right.
Yeah,
oh, okay, now answer that question. You're on the right direction. Why doesn't he ask that question?
What?
He said he should be asking, how do I destroy Shaul? Why does he not answer that question? Ask that question? Nope.
God wouldn't tell him to destroy Shaul.
How do you know? He never asked.
He won't do it.
Right.
He will not start a civil war. He will do everything he can to avoid that.
He started the civil war here. What do you mean?
But he's not going to actively raise a hand against the king.
He will.
No, but this is defense.
He will.
This is all defense.
Not,
he's coming.
He will not do
will
a strike. He
will not
a defensive strike.
Do it. Correct.
He will run for as long
this
as
is,
he
this
can.
This is the answer to the question. The question I had when I read this was, are they going to turn me over? Well, let me get this straight. Here you have this poor city, right? And along comes David and his 600 merry men, and they save the city. Who's in control now? David's in control. Who controls the city? David controls the city. Are they going to turn me over? Oh, we'll fight. You can fight. You can take a city on if you're under siege. Not every city that was laid siege to was overrun. You know, it's hard to lay siege to a city. It hurts. Why didn't he just say, we're going to fight, and they're not going to turn me in. Well, I have to ask them if they're going to turn me in or not. I don't care about them. They're going to sit here. I saved their behinds, and now they're going to sit through it.
Could it be that the answer isn't to the questions he was asking?
What did David want to do? What did he want to do?
He wanted to know if he could fight Shaul.
No, he did not. He did not ask that. He did not want to know. He will not do that.
It's not to save the city.
So what does he want to do?
He wants to be able to walk away.
How do you walk away?
But if he walks away, he's going to kill that city.
That's what he's worried about.
He wants to make sure as few people die as necessary.
I think he wants to hide.
In the city.
In the city. I'm not there. Yeah, he was here. He saved us. We said you had to leave. We kicked him out. Well, we wanted to have nothing to do with him.
That's why you asked that question.
Yes. Meaning, if you're not willing to fight, what is your only other option?
To run.
Two options.
Or to hide.
Run or hide. Ideally, you'd like to hide. Because running is no fun. They have a city. They can hang out there.
You know, the first question and the second question are different. The first question is, will he give me over? And the second question, will he give me and my men over?
Okay. Well, I guess maybe figured he didn't get an answer to the question, so he didn't know about the one question rule. So it seems clear to me he wants to hide. So he says to them, we're going to hide, and you're going to be quiet, right? And they say to him, sure, David, we'll take care of you. You saved us, we owe you everything. You hide here, Saul will never know the difference. So who do you trust?
No.
No one.
So, but you know better than
him. Not so, yes. At least he knows better than he asks God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why. So imagine trying to fight a fight, trying to shade yourself, when you're not even willing to fight. You're not willing to lift a hand to defend yourself. So what are you going to end up doing?
Running.
Running. Running and running and running and running. There was no other place to go. Let's go on. So what David did, you give him. Yaakov David va'anashav, kishay shmiot ish, vayitzu mikiila vayitalchu ba'asher halachu. How's it translate that? They went wherever they went.
Yeah. They wandered.
They wandered. They wanted to avoid that. They didn't want to wander. Because where are they going to go? You know, here we are. We saved the city. We saved your grain. We saved your hide. We saved your lives, basically. And what are they going to do? They were going to turn them over. You know, it's like a very demoralizing thing. And so what does Shaul find out?
He left,
so he stopped running him.
Well, there's a problem with him staying in the city.
Which is? What people that Shaul would find out about it?
No, that's not the problem at all. And it's the reason why, maybe it's the reason why they would deliver him. Like you said, if they're in the city, I mean, it's got walls. They can just easily defend themselves as Shaul can siege them. The thing is that if David stays in a city, it's like he's laying claim to a city.
I don't know if I agree with
that. That's a step towards laying
claim. As opposed to finding a battle to defend other people? That's a treasonous thing if I ever heard one. The king didn't want to fight, who are you to go fight?
I think it's one thing to do the battle that needs to be done.
You might have liked the fact that he did it, but that doesn't make it any less
another thing to start fortifying yourself in a location. If you're always on the run, at least you're not telling the people that you're taking a stand. If you make a stand,
I think he clearly did not want to run, but he had no choice. Let's go on. You're David. Vayeshev David b'midbar b'mitzadot vayeshev b'har b'midbar zif. So look on your little map. He's back in the Zifian desert. Okay, if you've ever been to Israel, what's south of Hebron? Anybody know? Hills. It was hills. Hills up and down. Up. There's nothing there. Hills. It looks the same today as it did back then. Right? It's just they have a couple of roads. Not much. Maybe some sheep too. Okay. Bayevakshev Shaul Kol Hayamin. A little foreshadowing. Ravona Tano Elokim Yadon. Shaul pursues him and God doesn't let him find him. Bayar David Ki Yatsa Shaul Bevakesh Et Nafsho. David in the Zifian desert, in the Zifian wasteland. Chorsha, is Rashi says, is the forest. Is that what the scroll says? How do you translate it?
In the forest.
In the forest. Good. Vayakam Yonatan, isn't that interesting? Vayakam Yonatan ben Shaul, Vayerech el David Chorshas. Yonatan ben Shaul gets up and he goes to David. Vayechazek et yado be'elokim. And he strengthens, what it means is he strengthens the vow between them. And what's interesting to you? What are you looking to be funny?
Where was he all this
time? Well, he was hanging out at home.
Okay.
What I find interesting is, Saul, for the life of him, cannot track down David.
Yeah, he just
goes and finds him. Right, it's always amazing, like in the news, you know, Osama bin Laden has been on the for 4 years. We have an exclusive interview with Brian Williams. How is it that, you know, Brian Williams can find him, but, you know...
Right.
Steve wants to defend the law enforcement agency.
Not a law enforcement agency.
Okay. Vayomer Elav, Al Kira. She says, don't be afraid. Kilotim Sa'acha Yad Sha'ul Avi. You will not, my father is never going to hurt you. Va'ata Timloch Al Yisrael. You will be the king. Va'anochi Ehagel Lecha L'mishneh. V'gam Sha'ul Avi Yodei Akein. I'm not going to rule. Rather, I'll be your assistant. And my even my father knows it.
Hmm.
It's a very, and now the Gemara says that he's one of the three most humble people. He displayed unbelievable humility to give up his right, as it were. But one gets the sense that Saul really never wanted it, that he always wanted to be second fiddle to David. But Yechidushnehem breathed his name Hashem, they established a covenant before God, and Vayeshev David b'Chorsha, v'Yonatan halach l'beito. Yonatan went home, David stayed in Chorsha. Why does Yonatan, remember, we already have a covenant. Why do you think Jonathan feels the need to come out and renew his vows, as it were, reestablish the same covenant that he had before? Anyone? Why?
Because his father's pursuing him.
More.
He never stopped pursuing him, did he?
More. He never stops.
It's a good idea to keep the lines of communication.
His father wiped out the city of Kohen. His father, you know, like, here's the question. When do you break the rules? When do you go beyond all bounds where a person would say, sure, we made a deal, but you're not the person I made the deal with anymore. I can't make a deal with you. I promise, yes, I would save your father. I promise I wouldn't hurt him. I promise I would save your family. But he killed the city of Thorn.
Jonathan needed to see if this was still the same David.
Yeah. With him or not with him. Now, it's interesting. Jonathan always looked at David as if David were in control. Remember the last time he made a covenant? Jonathan said, my father won't hurt you, and you have to make a promise not to hurt me. Remember that? So you get the sense that Jonathan, see, you know, he feels the need to come out again and reconnect. And say, I'm still with you. You got to be with me still. It's crazy what happened. I don't know what happened to my father. It's nuts, but, you know, we're still together. You and me, peace and power. Yud Tet. Vayalu Zifim El Shaul. Hagivat Aleimor. The Zifim, the people of Zif, went to Shaul and said, Hello, David, Mishtater Imanu Bamitzadot Bachorsha. David is, he's hanging out with us. The Givat Achachila Asher Miyamin Hayshimon. Why do people of Zif come to Shaul?
Figured if they get on
his yeah, right.
Go against them.
Right, exactly. Well, Shaul did what he wanted, but he did for a reason. Because he instilled the fear of God in all of them. And everybody knows that if you guys protect David, he will kill you. How do you know? Because he killed the Kohanim. He'll kill anybody. He's
nuts.
I didn't say that.
Survival.
Remember what we asked last week?
What
do you really mean?
The line is very unclear. Okay. Come on down. Do what you want. The Lenin has Kiro Biyad Melech. And we'll give him over to you. We'll take care of him. Yomer Sha'ul Bruchim Atem LaHashem Ki Chamaltem Alai. You should be blessed to God that you have compassion on me. Now, this is very interesting. The Mufajim point out a couple of, at least two or three instances where language here is very similar to the language that was used in the battle for Amalek. Remember the battle of Amalek? Saul didn't finish it off. Why did Saul not kill the king of Amalek? Anybody know? By Yachmol Shaul. He had compassion. So here also this idea of you have compassion on me. You feel for me. Meaning there's some connection between Saul back then and Saul here. And you know, like he's only solidifying his slide down. Another example is very interesting. It says, It says, remember here, it says, what did Joel do? It says, Saul, Vayishama Saul et kol ha'amma milchama. Saul rounded up the whole nation for war. When it came to Amalek, Saul also rounded up the whole nation for war. The same thing. Okay. Where are we? Chaf Aleph? No, Chaf Aleph, Chaf Beis, 22. Mechuna hachilu od, udu'u ru'u et mekomo. Right, go prepare more, and remember where he is. Asher tihye raglo mi ra'ahu sham. I want to know where he is, who saw him, why? Ki amar elai, arom ya'arimhu. How does the article translate that? Because somebody said to me, he's very sneaky.
Someone told me he had acts of
great cunning.
Someone told me what? He acts of great cunning.
Good. Look at Radak. You have a Radak? No, you have it in here.
Yeah.
Ki amar elai. Look at Radak. Radak is very interesting. Ki amar elai. You see, baby?
Yeah. It's when the lines get big, didn't they?
What's the line?
You'll find it eventually.
Is that right? Ki amar elai, he says, Be'od shahaya imi. When he used to be with me, Haya omerli, he used to say, Kishahiti shalala, I used to ask him, Echa yamatche beplistim kokach? How do you kill so many, you know, devil would come back from the war with like a zillion foreskins. And Shaul would say, how do you do it? How do you win? Ve'echa yamishmar mahem. And how would you be care, you know, how would you guard yourself? V'haya omerli, he said to me, Ki arom ya'arim hu. He said, I'm a very sneaky guy. Uva'aramot uvitachbulot haya ba'alehem. He used to, you know, spring upon them. Shlo'a yinishmarim imenu. They would, that's why they would be careful. One gets the sense. You ever see, like, reenactments of the Revolutionary War? You know, war had a certain acceptable way about it. Right?
And what's war? Revolutionary War, the Americans broke the rules.
Right, right. What's the war? War is like, you know, you get on the battlefield and then the
you
two armies discuss terms and the two armies, and even Braveheart, you know, like they go on. And then they, like, you know, slam each other and whoever wins, wins. The stronger one wins. So David said, the heck with that, you know, like...
Guerrilla warfare.
Guerrilla warfare. But...
Yohanan also.
Yeah, Yohanan was very good at that too. You know, it was just... That's why, you know, the whole thing with, you know, David and Goliath, right? He beat him on the battlefield. It was like, my man against your man... May the best man win. So David said, I'm sneaky. I don't play by the rules. I cheat. Why? Why not?
It's war.
It's war. That's like the whole, you know, we used to have friends in the Israeli army. The Israeli army has a weapon. It's machine gun. They don't use the M16. They had a gun called the Galil. You know, you've all seen the Galil, right? The Galil does not meet Geneva Convention rules. God bless. Does not adhere to the Geneva Convention. Why?
Probably shoots the dum-dums or the fragmenting bullets.
I don't think so. I think he told me that it's only allowed a bullet when it leaves the cylinder, you know this better than I do, it's rotating, it's turning. Yeah. And according to Geneva Convention, it's only allowed to rotate at a certain speed, because the faster the speed, the better the bullet and the more penetration, the more kills you get. So the Geneva Convention only allows like a certain level of rotation as the bullet leaves the rifle. And these guys are saying to me, like, let me get this straight. This is a weapon of war to try to kill your enemy. But you have to have certain rules because you don't want the weapon to be too powerful. That's what David said. You know, like, if it's not working, we're never going to beat the Philistines. They have more numbers. They have a stronger army. They have all the weapons, remember. We don't have any metal. We have nothing. So how do you beat them? You cut them under, you cut their legs from under them. Make sense? What he did. So that's what Saul said. Saul said, I don't know how to fight that way. He's a very sneaky guy. So he's going to, what am I doing? I'm trying to catch a 600 men with my 8,000 guys. You know how long it takes to move 8,000 people on foot? By the time I get there, gone.
Yonatan won't fight him. So.
Yonatan's not helping. Right.
You're going to have the equal general.
Right. Okay. Pasuk Chav Gimel. Uru udu mikol hamacha ovim asher yitchabecham. I want to know. I want you to see who's hiding. V'shavtem elai el nachon v'halachti itchem. You tell me where he is. I'm going with you. Ah, yeah. If he's there, V'chipashti oto b'chol alfei Yehuda. I will traverse up and down the whole Judean desert, and I'll catch him. V'yakumu v'yelchu Zifa. So they go to Zif. His name Shaul. V'David v'anasha b'midbar ma'on b'arava. He's on the plains. El yumin ha'yishimon. To the right of Yishimon. I didn't see any good maps for this. So David's in the plains. V'yel Shaul v'anasha b'rakesh. So they go to try to find him. V'yagidu v'David. V'yered ha'shela. So he goes down the shela. How do you translate that? The plateau?
The rock.
He goes down the rock. He's hanging out in the Midbar Ma'on. Falls down high on the trail. Catches up Midbar Ma'on. So now they're really catching up. They're on the other side of the mountain. He's stuck. David and six other men are stuck. Shaul has otrim. Otrim from like the idea of a crown is surrounded. A messenger. You have an angel, right?
A messenger
comes to Shaul saying, hurry up, you better come back. Why? The plishtim are there. Now, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Umalach ba el Shaul. Malach mamish. Right? A real angel, literally an angel, Kidela Hatzilat David. Now, whether you take it literally or not literally, clearly it was something, some God sent person or messenger of some kind to save David. Right when he's on his tail, right, he's got him in his clutches. So there's no time for games anymore. The police team are attacking, they gotta go back. That's why they call this place Selah, the rock of Machlakot, of dissent, of discord. So it's so interesting. What gets David started on this in the first place? Who gets David involved in the first place? David's hiding, everything's going great. What draws him out?
The Philistine.
What saves him?
The Philistine.
Saul's unwillingness to fight is what gets him involved in the first place. And Saul's need to now abandon this thing and go and fight a real fight, that's finally what saves him in the end.
Why all of a sudden is he going to go fight now and he didn't want to?
Obviously it was much more pressing. You know what the answer is? Because he had ignored them all this time. You think the place of Fi'ilah was the only place that the Philistine attacked? Right? So you let him bite you and you let him sting you, sooner or later you got a welt. Now look at the sheep for a second. Interesting sheep. Alkein karula makom mahosala machlako. Says the Midrash. Malamani krashala machlako. We have a bunch of different opinions. Why is it called salah machlako? Amar shlomo bar nachmeni. Shasham nichlaku gibere Shaul im al David. Shaul's fighters, his men, they argued. Fourth line. Mehem hayu hamrin. Some said, Ad sheben yishai v'yadenu lo nifna mimena. We're not moving until David's dead. Mehem hayu hamrin. Some said, this is crazy. Let's get out of here. We have to go fight for the Jewish people. Right? So it's interesting. What was the Shalom Machlakot according to that opinion? What was the argument going on? Not between Saul and David. Saul and his men. Some of them were saying, this is crazy already. What are we doing here? We're chasing after one of our own people who clearly doesn't want to attack us. He clearly just saved a Jewish city. We're wasting all this time when we could be fighting really important things. Here's a good lesson. It's a very interesting lesson. Because, sometimes we get caught up in these things also. I was reading the JTA. So there was this guy that was the assistant, I think it was like a council general to the UN from Israel. And he was up for a job as the head of the World Jewish Congress. Does anybody know what the World Jewish Congress does? Anybody? Brad? I have no idea what the World Jewish Congress does. Nobody knows. Anyway. But apparently he wasn't allowed to take the job because you have to have a 2-year cooling off period after you work for Israel before you go and work for one of these places. Fine. They have their ethics rules. So he gave an interview. And he just ripped into the American Jewish community. And he said, the American dignitaries and the leadership in American Jews, they fall all over themselves to run to foreign ministries of the world to protest anti-Semitism. but you know, like, and they're so considerate about this problem and that problem and this movie and that issue. Said, but if you look at American Jewry, it's dissipating by itself. He said the American Jewish community is an abject and total failure. And while people were really mad that he said it, and they yelled at him and said, well, what did you do about it? How did you help? They're absolutely correct. You know, and you see Shaul's men, they're getting frustrated here. We have wars to fight. We have things to take care of. And what are we doing? We're spending all of our time and our energy and our efforts running after somebody we shouldn't be running after in the first place. It's frustrating. What are you supposed to do? That's what the king wants. What's it to do? You run. Okay.